The Succubus. Prologue. A number of persons of the noble country of Touraine, considerably edified by the warm search which the author is making into the antiquities, adventures, good jokes, and pretty tales of that blessed land, and believing for certain that he should know everything, have asked him, after drinking with him of course understood, if he had discovered the etymological reason, concerning which all the ladies of the town are so curious, and from which a certain street in Tours is called the Rue Chaude. By him it was replied that he was much astonished to see that the ancient inhabitants had forgotten the great number of convents situated in this street, where the severe continence of the monks and nuns might have caused the walls to be made so hot that some woman of position should increase in size from walking too slowly along them to vespers. A troublesome fellow, wishing to appear learned, declared that formerly all the scandalmongers of the neighborhood were wont to meet in this place. Another entangled himself in the minute suffrages of science, and poured forth golden words without being understood, qualifying words, harmonizing the melodies of the ancient and modern, congregating customs, distilling verbs, alchemizing all languages since the deluge of the Hebrew, Chaldeans, Egyptians, Greeks, Latins, and of Turnus, the ancient founder of Tours. And the good man finished by declaring that Chaud or Chald, with the exception of the H and the L, came from Cauda, and that there was a tale in the affair, but the ladies only understood the end of it. An old man observed that in this same place was formerly a source of thermal water, of which his great-great-grandfather had drunk. In short, in less time than it takes a fly to embrace its sweetheart, there had been a pocketful of etymologies, in which the truth of the matter had been less easily found than a louse in the filthy beard of a Capuchin friar. But a man well learned and well informed, through having left his footprint in many monasteries, consumed much midnight oil, and manured his brain with many a volume, himself more encumbered with pieces, diptych fragments, boxes, charters, and registers concerning the history of Touraine, than is a gleaner with stalks of straw in the month of August. This man, old, infirm, and gouty, who had been drinking in his corner without saying a word, smiled the smile of a wise man, and knitted his brows, the said smile finally resolving itself into a pish, well articulated, which the author heard, and understood it to be big with an adventure historically good, the delights of which he would be able to unfold in this sweet collection. To be brief, on the morrow this gouty old fellow said to him, "By your poem, which is called The Venial Sin, you have forever gained my esteem, because everything therein is true from head to foot, which I believe to be a precious superabundance in such matters. But doubtless you do not know what became of the moor placed in religion by the said knight, Brian de la Roche Corbin. I know very well. Now if this etymology of the street harass you, and also the Egyptian nun, I will lend you a curious and antique parchment, found by me in the alum of the Episcopal Palace, of which the libraries were a little knocked about at a period, when none of us knew if he would have the pleasure of his head society on the morrow. Now will not this yield you a perfect contentment?" "Good," said the author. Then this worthy collector of truths gave certain rare and dusty parchments to the author, the which he has, not without great labor, translated into French, and which were fragments of a most ancient ecclesiastical process. He has believed that nothing would be more amusing than the actual resurrection of this antique affair, wherein shines forth the illiterate simplicity of the good old times. Now, then, give ear. This is the order in which were the manuscripts, of which the author has made use in his own fashion, because the language was devilishly difficult. What the succubus was. In nomen Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. In the year of our Lord, 1271, before me, Hiram Cornhill, Grand Inquisitor and Ecclesiastical Judge, thereto commissioned by the members of the Chapter of Saint Maurice, the Cathedral of Tours, having of this deliberated in the presence of our Lord Jean de Montsoreau, Archbishop, namely, the grievances and complaints of the inhabitants of the said town, whose request is here subjoined, have appeared certain noblemen, citizens, and inhabitants of the diocese, who have stated the following facts concerning a demon suspected of having taken the features of a woman, who has much afflicted the minds of the diocese, and is at present a prisoner in the jail of the chapter. And in order to arrive at the truth of the said charge, we have opened the present court, this Monday, the 11th day of December, after Mass, to communicate the evidence of each witness to the said demon, to interrogate her upon the said crimes to her imputed, and to judge her according to the laws enforced contra demonios. And this inquiry has assisted me to write the evidence therein given, Guillaume Turnabuch, rubricant of the chapter, a learned man. Firstly has come before us one Jehan, surnamed Tordebras, a citizen of Tours, keeping by license the hostelry of La Cigogne, situated on the Place du Pont, and who has sworn by the salvation of his soul, his hand upon the holy evangelists, to state no other thing than that which by himself hath been seen and heard. He hath stated as here followeth. I declare that about 2 years before the feast of St. Jehan, upon which are the grand illuminations, a gentleman, at first unknown to me, but belonging without doubt to our Lord the King, and at that time returned to our country from the Holy Land, came to me with the proposition that I should let to him at rental a certain country house by me built, in the quit rent of the chapter over against the place called of St. Edian, and the which I let to him for 9 years, for the consideration of 3 besons of fine gold. And the said house was placed by the said knight a fair wench having the appearance of a woman, dressed in the strange fashion of the Saracens Mohammedans, whom he would allow by none to be seen, or to be approached within a bow shot, but whom I have seen with mine own eyes, weird feathers upon her head, and eyes so flaming, that I cannot adequately describe them, and from which gleamed forth the fire of hell. The defunct knight having threatened with death whoever should appear to spy about the said house, I have by reason of great fear left the said house, and I have until this day secretly kept to my mind certain presumptions and doubts concerning the bad appearance of the said foreigner, who was more strange than any woman, her equal not having as yet by me been seen. Many persons of all conditions, having at the time believed the said knight to be dead, but kept upon his feet by virtue of the said charms, philters, spells, and diabolical sorceries of this seeming woman, who wished to settle in our country, I declare that I have always seen the said knight so ghastly pale, that I can only compare his face to the wax of a paschal candle, and to the knowledge of all the people of the hostelry of La Cigogne, this knight was interred 9 days after his first coming. According to the statement of his groom, the defunct had been chivalrously coupled with the said Moorish woman during 7 whole days shut up in my house, without coming out from her, the which I heard him horribly avow upon his deathbed. Certain persons at the present time have accused this she-devil of holding the said gentleman in her clutches by her long hair, the which was furnished with certain warm properties by means of which are communicated to Christians the flames of hell in the form of love, which work in them until their souls are by this means drawn from their bodies and possessed by Satan. But I declare that I have seen nothing of this excepting the said dead knight, bowless, emaciated, wishing, in spite of his confessor, still to go to this wench, and then he has been recognized as the Lord de Buail, who was a crusader, and who was, according to certain persons of the town, under the spell of a demon whom he had met in the Asiatic country of Damascus or elsewhere. Afterwards I have let my house to the said unknown lady, according to the clauses of the deed of lease. The said Lord of Buail, being defunct, I had nevertheless been into my house, in order to learn from the said foreign woman, if she wished to remain in my dwelling, and after great trouble was led before her by a strange, half-naked black man, whose eyes were white. Then I have seen the said Moorish woman in the little room, shining with gold and jewels, lighted with strange lights, upon an Asiatic carpet, where she was seated, lightly attired, with another gentleman, who was there imperiling his soul, and I had not the heart bold enough to look upon her, seeing that her eyes would have incited me immediately, to yield myself up to her, for already her voice thrilled into my very belly, filled my brain, and debauched my mind. Finding this, from the fear of God, and also of hell, I have departed with swift feet, leaving my house to her, as long as she liked to retain it, so dangerous was it to behold that Moorish complexion from which radiated diabolical heats, besides a foot smaller than it was lawful in a real woman to possess, and to hear her voice, which pierced into one's heart. And from that day I have lacked the courage to enter my house from great fear of falling into hell. I have said my say. To the said Tortebras we have then shown an Abyssinian, Nubian, or Ethiopian, who, black from head to foot, had been found wanting in certain virile properties with which all good Christians are usually furnished, who, having persevered in his silence, after having been tormented and tortured many times, not without much moaning, has persisted in being unable to speak the language of our country. And the said Tortebras has recognized the said abyss heretic as having been in his house in company with the said demoniacal spirit, and is suspected of having lent his aid to her sorcery. And the said Tortebras has confessed his great faith in the Catholic religion, and declared no other things, to be within his knowledge save certain rumors which were known to everyone, of which he had been in no way a witness except in the hearing of them. In obedience to the citation served upon him, has appeared then, Matthew, surname Cognifestu, a day laborer of St. Etienne, whom, after having sworn by the holy evangelists to speak the truth, has confessed to us always, to have seen a bright light in the dwelling of the said foreign woman, and heard much wild and diabolical laughter on the days and nights of feasts and fasts, notably during the days of the Holy and Christmas weeks, as if a great number of people were in the house. And he has sworn to have seen by the windows of the said dwellings, green buds of all kinds in the winter, growing as if by magic, especially roses in a time of frost, and other things for which there was a need of a great heat. But of this, he was in no way astonished, seeing that the said foreigner threw out so much heat, that when she walked in the evening by the side of his wall he found on the morrow his salad grown, and on certain occasions she had by the touching of her petticoats, caused the trees to put forth leaves, and hasten the buds. Finally, the said Cognifestu has declared to us to know no more, because he worked from early morning, and went to bed at the same hour as the fowls. Afterwards the wife of the aforesaid Cognifestu has by us been required to state also upon oath the things come to her cognizance in this process, and has avowed not save praises of the said foreigner, because since her coming her man had treated her better in consequence of the neighborhood of this good lady, who filled the air with love, as the sun did light, and other incongruous nonsense, which we have not committed to writing. To the said Cognifestu, and to his wife we have shown the said unknown African, who has been seen by them in the gardens of the house, and is stated by them for certain to belong to the said demon. In the third place, has advanced Arduin V, Lord of Mail, who being by us reverentially begged to enlighten the religion of the church, has expressed his willingness so to do, and has, moreover, engaged his word, as a gallant knight, to say no other thing than that which he has seen. Then he has testified to have known in the army of the Crusades the demon in question, and in the town of Damascus, to have seen the knight of Belial, since defunct, fight at close quarters, to be her sole possessor. The above-mentioned wench, or demon, belonged at that time to the knight Geoffroy IV, Lord of Rochepaze, by whom she was said to have been brought from Touraine, although she was a Saracen, concerning which the knights of France marveled much, as well as at her beauty, which made a great noise and a thousand scandalous ravages in the camp. During the voyage this wench was the cause of many deaths, seeing that Rajpase had already discomfited certain crusaders, who wished to keep her to themselves, because she shed, according to certain knights petted by her in secret, joys around her comparable to none others. But in the end the Knight of Belial, having killed Geoffroy de la Rajpase, became lord and master of this young murderess, and placed her in a convent, or harem, according to the Saracen custom. About this time one used to see her, and hear her chattering as entertainment many foreign dialects, such as the Greek or the Latin Empire, Moorish, and, above all, French better than any of those who knew the language of France best and the Christian host, from which sprang the belief that she was demoniacal. The said knight Arduin has confessed to us not to have tilted for her in the Holy Land, not from fear, coldness or other cause, so much as that he believed the time had arrived for him to bear away a portion of the true cross, and also he had belonging to him a noble lady of the Greek country, who saved him from this danger, in denuding him of love, morning, and night, seeing that she took all of it substantially from him, leaving him none in his heart or elsewhere for others. And the said knight has assured us, that the woman living in the country house of Tortebras, was really the said Saracen woman, come into the country from Syria, because he had been invited to a midnight feast at her house by the young lord of Croixmer, who expired the 7th day afterwards, according to the statement of the dame de Croixmer, his mother, ruined all points by the said wench, whose commerce with him had consumed his vital spirit, and whose strange fantasies had squandered his fortune. Afterwards questioned in his quality of a man full of prudence, wisdom, and authority in this country, upon the ideas entertained concerning the said woman, and summoned by us to open his conscience, seeing that it was a question of a most abominable case of Christian faith and divine justice, answer has been made by the said knight, that by certain of the host of crusaders it has been stated to him that all was this, she devil was a maid to him who embraced her, and that mammon was for certain occupied in her, making for her a new virtue for each of her lovers, and a thousand other foolish sayings of drunken men, which were not of a nature, to form a fifth gospel. But for a fact, he, an old knight on that turn of life, and knowing nothing more of the aforesaid, felt himself again a young man in that last supper with which he had been regaled by the lord of Croixmer. Then the voice of this demon went straight to his heart, before flowing into his ears, and had awakened so great a love in his body, that his life was ebbing from the place whence it should flow, and that eventually, but for the assistance of Cyprus wine, which he had drunk to blind his sight, and his getting under the table in order no longer to gaze upon the fiery eyes of his diabolical hostess, and not to rend his heart from her, without doubt he would have fought the young Croixmer, in order to enjoy for a single moment this supernatural woman. Since then he had had absolution from his confessor for the wicked thought. Then, by advice from on high, he had carried back to his house his portion of the true cross, and had remained in his own manor, where, in spite of his Christian precautions, the said voice still at certain times tickled his brain, and in the morning often had he in remembrance this demon, warm as brimstone. And because the look of this wench was so warm, that it made him burn like a young man, be half dead, and because it cost him then many transshipments of the vital spirit, the said knight has requested us, not to confront him with the Empress of Love to whom, if it were not the devil, God the Father had granted strange liberties with the minds of men. Afterwards, he retired, after reading over his statement, not without having first recognized the above-mentioned African, to be the servant and page of the lady. In the fourth place, upon the faith pledged in us in the name of the chapter, and of our Lord Archbishop, that he should not be tormented, tortured, nor harassed in any manner, nor further cited after his statement, in consequence of his commercial journeys, and upon the assurance, that he should retire in perfect freedom, has come before us a Jew, Salomon al-Raschid, who, in spite of the infamy of his person and his Judaism, has been heard by us to this one end, to know everything concerning the conduct of the aforesaid demon. Thus he has not been required to take any oath as Salomon, seeing that he is beyond the pale of the church, separated from us by the blood of our Savior, Trucidatus Salvator inter nos. Interrogated by us, as to why he appeared without the green cap upon his head, and the yellow wheel in the apparent locality of the heart in his garment, according to the ecclesiastical and royal ordinances, the said Derastchid has exhibited to us letters patent of the seneschal of Touraine and Poitou. Then the said Jew has declared to us to have done a large business for the lady dwelling in the house of the innkeeper Tortebras, to have sold to her golden chandeliers, with many branches, minutely engraved, plates of red silver, cups enriched with stones, emeralds, and rubies, to have brought for her from the Levant a number of rare stuffs, Persian carpets, silks, and fine linen, in fact, things so magnificent, that no queen in Christendom could say she was so well furnished with jewels and household goods, and that he had for his part received from her £300,000 for the rarity of the purchases in which he had been employed, such as Indian flowers, popinjays, birds' feathers, spices, Greek wines, and diamonds. Requested by us, the judge, to say if he had furnished certain ingredients of magical conjuration, the blood of newborn children, conjuring books, and things generally, and whatsoever made use of by sorcerers, giving him license to state his case without that thereupon he should be the subject to any further inquest or inquiry. The said Al-Rashid has sworn by his Hebrew faith never to have had any such commerce, and has stated that he was involved in too high interests to give himself to such miseries, seeing that he was the agent of certain most powerful lords, such as the Marquis de Montferrat, the King of England, the King of Cyprus and Jerusalem, the Court of Provence, Lords of Venice, and many German gentlemen, to have belonging to him merchant galleys of all kinds, going into Egypt with the permission of the Sultan, and he trafficking in precious articles of silver and of gold, which took him often into the exchange of Tours. Moreover, he has declared that he considered the said lady, the subject of inquiry, to be a right royal and natural woman, with the sweetest limbs, and the smallest he has ever seen. That in consequence of her renown for a diabolical spirit, pushed by a wild imagination, and also because that he was smitten with her, he had heard once that she was husbandless, proposed to her to be her gallant, to which proposition she willingly acceded. Now, although from that night he felt his bones disjointed and his bowels crushed, he had not yet experienced, as certain persons say, that who once yielded, was free no more. He went to his fate as lead into the crucible of the alchemist. Then the said Salomon, to whom we have granted his liberty according to the safe conduct, in spite of the statement, which proves abundantly his commerce with the devil, because he had been saved there, where all Christians have succumbed, has admitted to us an agreement concerning the said demon, to make known, that he had made an offer to the chapter of the cathedral, to give for the said semblance of a woman such a ransom, if she were condemned to be burned alive, that the highest of the towers of the Church of St. Maurice, at present in course of construction, could therewith be finished, the which we have noted to be deliberated upon at an opportune time by the assembled chapter. And the said Salomon has taken his departure without being willing to indicate his residence, and has told us that he can be informed of the deliberation of the chapter by a Jew of the synagogue of Tours, a name Tobias Nathanus. The said Jew has before his departure been shown the African, and has recognized him as the page of the demon, and has stated the Saracens, to have the custom of mutilating their slaves thus, to commit to them the task of guarding their women by an ancient usage, as it appears in the profane histories of Narses, General of Constantinople, and others. On the morrow after Mass has appeared before us the most noble and illustrious lady of Kreuzmer. The same has worn her faith in the holy evangelists, and has related to us with tears, how she had placed her eldest son beneath the earth, dead by reason of his extravagant amours with this female demon. the which noble gentleman was 23 years of age, of good complexion, very manly and well-bearded like his defunct sire. Notwithstanding his great vigor, in 90 days he had little by little withered, ruined by his commerce with the succubus of the Ruchad, according to the statement of the common people, and her maternal authority over the son had been powerless. Finally, in his latter days he appeared like a poor dried-up worm, such as housekeepers meet with in a corner when they clean out the dwelling rooms. And always, so long as he had the strength to go, he went to shorten his life with this cursed woman, where, also, he emptied his cash box. When he was in his bed, and knew his last hour had come, he swore at, cursed, and threatened and heaped upon all, his sister, his brother, and upon her his mother, 1,000 insults, rebelled in the face of the chaplain, denied God, and wished to die in damnation, at which were much afflicted the retainers of the family, who, to save his soul, and pluck it from hell, have founded 2 annual masses in the cathedral, and in order to have him buried in consecrated ground, the house of Kreuzmer has undertaken to give to the chapter, during 100 years, the wax candles for the chapels and the church, upon the day of the Paschal feast. And, in conclusion, saving the wicked words heard by the reverend person, Dom Lois Pot, a nun of Marmoustiers, who came to assist in his last hours the said Baron de Kreuzmer, affirms never to have heard any words offered by the defunct, touching the demon who had undone him. And therewith has retired the noble and illustrious lady in deep mourning. In the 6th place has appeared before us, after adjournment, Jacquette, called Vuoing, a kitchen scullion, going to houses to wash dishes, residing at present in the fish market, who, after having placed her word, to say nothing she did not hold to be true, has declared as here follows. Namely, that one day she, being come into the kitchen of the said demon, of whom she had no fear, because she was wont to regale herself only upon males, she had the opportunity of seeing in the garden this female demon, superbly attired, walking in company with a knight, with whom she was laughing, like a natural woman. Then she had recognized in this demon that true likeness of the Moorish woman placed as a nun in the convent of Notre Dame de la Grignols by the defunct seneschal of Touraine and Poitou, Messer Brine, Count of Rochecorbon, the which Moorish woman had been left in the situation and place of the image of Our Lady the Virgin, the mother of our blessed Savior, stolen by the Egyptians about 18 years since. Of this time, in consequence of the troubles, come about in Touraine, no record has been kept. This girl, aged about 12 years, was saved from the stake at which she would have been burned by being baptized, and the said defunct and his wife had then been godfather and godmother to this child of hell. Being at that time laundress at the convent, she who bears witness has remembrance of the flight which the said Egyptian took 20 months after her entry into the convent, so subtly that it has never been known how, or by what means she escaped. At that time it was thought by all, that with the devil's aid she had flown away in the air, seeing that notwithstanding much search, no trace of her flight was found in the convent, where everything remained in its accustomed order. The African having been shown to the said scullion, she has declared not to have seen him before, although she was curious to do so, as he was commissioned to guard the place in which the Moorish woman combated with those whom she drained through the spigot. In the 7th place has been brought before us Hugues de Fou, son of the Sieur de Bridder, who, aged 20 years, has been placed in the hands of his father, under caution of his estates, and by him is represented in this process, whom it concerns, if should be duly attained and convicted of having, assisted by several unknown and bad young men, laid siege to the jail of the archbishop, and of the chapter, and of having lent himself to disturb the force of ecclesiastical justice, by causing the escape of the demon now under consideration. In spite of the evil disposition we have commanded the said Hugues de Fou to testify truly, touching the things he should know concerning the said demon, with whom he is vehemently reputed to have had commerce, pointing out to him that it was a question of his salvation and of the life of the said demon. He, after having taken the oath, he said, I swear by my eternal salvation, and by the holy evangelists here present under my hand, to hold the woman suspected of being a demon to be an angel, a perfect woman, and even more so in mind than in body, living in all honesty, full of the mignier charms and delights of love, in no way wicked, but most generous, assisting greatly the poor and suffering. I declare that I have seen her weeping veritable tears for the death of my friend, the Knight of Kreuzmer. And because on that day she had made a vow to Our Lady the Virgin no more to receive the love of young noblemen to weaken her service, she has to me constantly, and with great courage, denied the enjoyment of her body, and has only granted to me love, and the possession of her heart, of which she has made sovereign. Since this gracious gift, in spite of my increasing flame, I have remained alone in her dwelling, where I have spent the greater part of my days, happy in seeing, and in hearing her. Oh! I would eat near her, partake of the air which entered into her lungs, of the light which shone in her sweet eyes, and found in this occupation more joy than have the lords of paradise. Elected by me to be forever my lady, chosen to be one day my dove, my wife, and only sweetheart, I, poor fool, have received from her no advances on the joys of the future, but, on the contrary, 1,000 virtuous admonitions, such as that I should acquire renown as a good knight, become a strong man and a fine one, fear nothing except God, honor the ladies, serve but one, and love them in memory of that one. That when I should be strengthened by the work of war, if her heart still pleased mine, at that time only would she be mine, because she would be able to wait for me, loving me so much. So saying, the young sire Hughes wept, and weeping, added, that thinking of this graceful and feeble woman, whose arms seemed scarcely large enough to sustain the light weight of her golden chains, he did not know how to contain himself, while fancying the irons which would wound her, and the miseries with which she would traitorously be loaded, and from this cause came his rebellion. And that he had license to express his sorrow before justice, because his life was so bound up with that of his delicious mistress and sweetheart that on the day when evil came to her, he would surely die. And the same young man has vociferated 1,000 other praises of the said demon, which bear witness to the vehement sorcery practiced upon him, and prove, moreover, the abominable, unalterable, and incurable life and the fraudulent witcheries to which he is at present subject, concerning which our Lord the Archbishop will judge, in order to save by exorcisms and penitences this young soul from the snares of hell, if the devil has not gained too strong a hold of it. Then we have handed back the said young nobleman into the custody of the noble lord his father. After that, by the said Hughes, the African has been recognized as the servant of the accused. In the 8th place, before us, have the foot guards of our Lord the Archbishop led in great state the Most High and Reverend Lady Jacqueline de Champchevrier, Abbess of the Convent of Notre Dame, under the invocation of Mount Carmel, to whose control has been submitted by the late Seneschal of Touraine, father of Monseigneur the Count of Rochecorbon, present advocate of the said convent, the Egyptian, named at the baptismal font Blanche Brine. To the said abbess we have shortly stated the present cause, in which is involved the Holy Church, the glory of God, and the eternal future of the people of the diocese afflicted with a demon, and also the life of a creature who it was possible might be quite innocent. Then the cause elaborated, we have requested the said noble abbess to testify that which was within her knowledge concerning the magical disappearance of her daughter in God, Blanche Brine, espoused by our Savior under the name of Sister Claire. Then has stated the very high, very noble, and very illustrious Lady Abbess as follows. The Sister Claire, of origin to her unknown, but suspected to be of an heretic father and mother, people inimical to God, has truly been placed in religion in the convent, of which the government had canonically come to her in spite of her unworthiness, that the said sister had properly concluded her novitiate, and made her vows according to the holy rule of the order, that the vows taken, she had fallen into great sadness, and had much drooped. Interrogated by her, the abbess, concerning her melancholy malady, the said sister had replied with tears, that she herself did not know the cause, that 1001 tears engendered themselves in her at feeling no more her splendid hair upon her head, that besides this, she thirsted for air, and could not resist her desire to jump up into the trees, to climb and tumble about according to her wont during her open air life, that she passed her nights in tears, dreaming of the forests under the leaves, of which in other days she slept, and in remembrance of this, she abhorred the quality of the air of the cloisters, which troubled her respiration, that in her inside she was troubled with evil vapors, that at times she was inwardly diverted in church by thoughts which made her lose countenance. Then I have repeated over and over again to the poor creature the holy directions of the church, have reminded her of the eternal happiness which women without seeing enjoy in paradise, and how transitory was life here below, and certain the goodness of God, who for first certain bitter pleasures lost, kept for us a love without end. Despite of this wise maternal advice, the evil spirit has persisted in the said sister, and always would she gaze upon the leaves of the trees and grass of the meadows through the windows of the church during the offices and times of prayer, and persisted in becoming as white as linen in order that she might stay in her bed, and at certain times she would run about the cloisters like a goat broken loose from its fastening. Finally, she had grown thin, lost much of the great beauty, and shrunk away to nothing. While in this condition by us, the abbess her mother, was she placed in the sick room, we daily expecting her to die. One winter's morning the said sister had fled, without leaving any trace of her steps, without breaking the door, forcing of locks, or opening of windows, nor any sign whatever of the manner of her passage. A frightful adventure which was believed to have taken place by the aid of the demon which has annoyed and tormented her. For the rest it was settled by the authorities of the Metropolitan Church, that the mission of this daughter of hell was to divert the nuns from their holy ways, and blinded by their perfect lives, she had returned through the air on the wings of the sorcerer, who had left her for mockery of our holy religion in the place of our Virgin Mary. The which having said, the Lady Abbess was, with great honor and according to the command of our Lord the Archbishop, accompanied as far as the convent of Carmel. In the ninth place, before us has come, agreeably to the citation served upon him, Joseph, called Le Chalopier, a money changer, living on the bridge at the sign of the Beeson door, who, after having pledged his Catholic faith, to say no other thing than the truth, and that known to him, touching the process before the ecclesiastical tribunal, has testified as follows. I am a poor father, much afflicted by the sacred will of God. Before the coming of the succubus of the Rue Chaude, I had, for all good, a son as handsome as a noble, learned as a clerk, and having made more than a dozen voyages into foreign lands, for the rest a good Catholic, keeping himself on guard against the needles of love, because he avoided marriage, knowing himself to be the support of my old days, the love for my eyes, and the constant delight of my heart. He was a son of whom the King of France might have been proud, a good and courageous man, the light on my commerce, the joy of my roof, and, above all, an inestimable blessing, seeing that I am alone in the world, having had the misfortune to lose my wife, and being too old to take another. Now, Monseigneur, this treasure without equal, has been taken from me, and cast into hell by the demon. Yes, my Lord Judge, directly he beheld this mischievous jade, this she-devil, in whom it is a whole workshop of perdition, a conjunction of pleasure and delectation, and whom nothing can satiate, my poor child stuck himself fast into the glue-pot of love, and afterwards lived only between the columns of Venus, and there did not live long, because in that place like so great a heat, that nothing can satisfy the thirst of this gulf, not even should you plunge therein the germs of the entire world. Alas, then, my poor boy, his fortune, his generative hopes, his eternal future, his entire self, more than himself, have been engulfed in this sower, like a grain of corn in the jaws of a bull. By this means, become an old orphan I, who speak, shall have no greater joy than to see burning, this demon, nourished with blood and gold. This Arachne who has drawn out, and sucked more marriages, more families in the seed, more hearts, more Christians than there are lepers in all the laser houses or Christendom. Burn, torment this fiend, this vampire who feeds on souls, this tigerish nature that drinks blood, this amorous lamp in which burns the venom of all the vipers. Close this abyss, the bottom of which no man can find. I offer my deniers to the chapter for the stake, and my arm to light the fire. Watch well, my lord judge, to surely guard this devil, seeing that she has a fire more flaming than all other terrestrial fires. She has all the fire of hell in her, the strength of Samson in her hair, and the sound of celestial music in her voice. She charms to kill the body and the soul at one stroke. She smiles to bite, she kisses to devour. In short, she would wheedle an angel and make him deny his God. My son, where is he at this hour? The flower of my life, a flower cut by this feminine needle case as with scissors. Ah, Lord, why have I been called? Who will give me back my son, whose soul has been absorbed by a womb which gives death to all, and life to none? The devil alone copulates, and engenders not. This is my evidence, which I pray Master Turnovich, to write without omitting one iota, and to grant me a schedule, that I may tell it to God every evening in my prayer, to this end to make the blood of the innocent cry aloud into his ears, and to obtain from his infinite mercy the pardon for my son. Here followed 27 other statements, of which the transcription in their true objectivity, in all their quality of space would be over fastidious, would draw to a great length, and divert the thread of this curious process, a narrative which, according to ancient precepts, should go straight to the fact, like a bull to his principal office. Therefore, here is, in a few words, the substance of these testimonies. A great number of good Christians, townsmen, and townswomen, inhabitants of the noble town of Tours, testified the demon to have held every day wedding feasts and royal festivities, never to have been seen in any church, to have cursed God, to have mocked the priests, never to have crossed herself in any place, to have spoken all the languages of the earth, a gift which has only been granted by God to the blessed apostles, to have been many times met in the fields, mounted upon an unknown animal who went before the clouds, not to grow old, and to have always a youthful face, to have received the Father and the Son on the same day, saying that her door sinned not, to have visible malign influences which flowed from her, for that a pastry cook, seated on the bench at her door, having perceived her one evening, received such a gust of warm love that, going in and getting to bed, he had with great passion embraced his wife, and was found dead on the morrow, that the old men of the town, went to spend the remainder of their days, and of their money with her, to taste the joys of the sins of their youth, and that they died like fleas on their bellies, and that certain of them, while dying, became as black as moors, that this demon never allowed herself to be seen neither at dinner, nor at breakfast, nor at supper, but ate alone, because she lived upon human brains, that several had seen her during the night, go to the cemeteries, and there embrace the young dead men, because she was not able to assuage otherwise the devil who worked in her entrails, and there raged like a tempest, and from that came the astringent biting, nitrous shooting, precipitant, and diabolical movements, squeezings, and writhings of love and voluptuousness, from which several men had emerged bruised, torn, bitten, pinched, and crushed, and that since the coming of our Savior, who had imprisoned the master devil in the bellies of the swine, no malignant beast had ever been seen in any portion of the earth so mischievous, venomous and so clutching, so much so that if one threw the town of Tours into this field of Venus, She would there transmute it into the grain of cities, and this demon would swallow it like a strawberry. And a thousand other statements, sayings, and depositions, from which was evident in perfect clearness the infernal generation of this woman, daughter, sister, niece, spouse, or brother of the devil, beside abundant proofs of her evil doing, and of the calamity spread by her in all families. And if it were possible to put them here conformably with the catalogue preserved by the good man to whom he accused the discovery, it would seem like a sample of the horrible cries which the Egyptians gave forth on the day of the seventh plague. Also this examination has covered with great honor Messer Guillaume Turnabuch, by whom are quoted all the memoranda. In the tenth vacation was thus closed this inquest, arriving at a maturity of proof, furnished with authentic testimony and sufficiently engrossed with the particulars, plaints, interdicts, contradictions, charges, assignments, withdrawals, confessions public and private, oaths, adjournments, appearances and controversies, to which the said demon must reply. And the townspeople say everywhere, if there were really a she-devil, and furnished with internal horns planted in her nature, with which she drank the men, and broke them, this woman might swim a long time in this sea of writing before being landed safe and sound in hell. The proceedings taken relative to this female vampire. In nomen Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. In the year of our Lord 1271, before us, Hiram Cornhill, Grand Penitentiary and Ecclesiastical Judge to this, canonically appointed, have appeared, the Sire Philip Ditter, bailiff of the town and city of Tours and province of Touraine, living in his hotel in the Rue de la Rotisserie, in Chateauneuf, Master Jehan Ribou, provost of the Brotherhood and Company of Drapers, residing on the Quai de Breton, at the image of St. Pierre's Lines, Messer Antoine Jehan, alderman and chief of the Brotherhood of Changers, residing in the Place du Pont, at the image of St. Mark counting Turnus Pounds, Master Martin Beauperdice, captain of the archers of the town residing at the castle, Jehan Rabilis, a ship's painter and boatmaker residing at the port at the Isle of St. Jacques, treasurer of the Brotherhood of the Mariners of the Loire, Mark Hiram, called Mashifer, hosier, at the sign of St. Sebastian, president of the Trades Council, and Jacques, called the Villadomer, master tavern keeper and vine dresser, residing in the High Street, at the Pomme de Pin, to the said Sire Ditter, and to the said citizens, we have read the following petition by them, written, signed, and deliberated upon, to be brought under the notice of the Ecclesiastical Tribunal. Petition. We, the undersigned, all citizens of Tours, are come into the hotel of His Worship the Sire Ditter, bailiff of Touraine, in the absence of our mayor, and have requested him to hear our plaints and statements concerning the following facts, which we intend to bring before the tribunal of the Archbishop, the judge of ecclesiastical crimes, to whom should be deferred the conduct of the cause which we here expose. A long time ago there came into this town a wicked demon in the form of a woman, who lives in the parish of St. Edian, in the house of the innkeeper Tortebras, situated in the quadrant of the chapter, and under the temporal jurisdiction of the archiepiscopal domain. The which foreigner carries on the business of a gay woman in a prodigal and abusive manner, and with such increase of infamy, that she threatens to ruin the Catholic faith in this town. Because those who go to her come back again with their souls lost in every way, and refuse the assistance of the church with a thousand scandalous discourses. Now considering that a great number of those who yielded to her are dead, and that arrived in our town with no other wealth than her beauty, she has, according to public clamor, infinite riches and right royal treasure, the acquisition of which is vehemently attributed to sorcery, or at least to robberies committed by the aid of magical attractions and her supernaturally amorous person. considering that it is a question of the honor and security of our families, and that never before has been seen in this country a woman wild of body or a daughter of pleasure, carrying on with such mischief of vocation of light, O love, and menacing so openly and bitterly the life, the savings, the morals, chastity, religion, and the everything of the inhabitants of this town, considering that there is need of an inquiry into her person, her wealth and her deportment, in order to verify if these effects of love are legitimate, and to not proceed, as would seem indicated by her manners, from a bewitchment of Satan, who often visits Christianity under the form of a female, as appears in the holy books, in which it is stated that our blessed Savior was carried away into a mountain, from which Lucifer or Astaroth showed him the fertile plains of Judea, and that in many places have been seen succubi or demons, having the faces of women, who, not wishing to return to hell, and having with them an insatiable fire, attempt to refresh and sustain themselves by sucking in souls. Considering that in the case of the said woman 1,000 proofs of diablerie are met with, of which certain inhabitants speak openly, and that it is necessary for the repose of the said woman, that the matter be sifted, in order that she shall not be attacked by certain people, ruined by the result of her wickedness. For these causes we pray, that it will please you to submit to our spiritual Lord, Father of this diocese, the most noble and blessed Archbishop Jehan de Montsoreau, the troubles of his afflicted flock, to the end, that he may advise upon them. By doing so you will fulfill the duties of your office, as we do those of preservers of the security of this town, each one according to the things of which he has charge in his locality. And we have signed the present, in the year of our Lord 1271, of All Saints' Day, after Mass. Master Turnabich, having finished the reading of this petition, by us, Hiram Cornhill, has it been said to the petitioners, Gentlemen, do you, at the present time, persist in these statements? Have you proofs other than those come within your own knowledge, and do you undertake to maintain the truth of this before God, before man, and before the accused? All, with the exception of Master Jehan Rabilis, have persisted in their belief, and the aforesaid Rabilis has withdrawn from the process, saying that he considered the said Moorish woman to be a natural woman and a good wench who had no other fault than that of keeping up a very high temperature of love. Then we, the judge appointed, have, after mature deliberation, found matter upon which to proceed in the petition of the aforesaid citizens, and have commanded that the woman at present in the jail of the chapter shall be proceeded against by all legal methods, as written in the canons and ordinances, contra demonios. The said ordinance, embodied in the writ, shall be published by the town crier in all parts, and with the sound of the trumpet, in order to make it known to all, and that each witness may, according to his knowledge, be confronted with the said demon, and finally the said accused to be provided with a defender, according to custom, and the interrogations, and the process to be congruously conducted. Signed, Hiram Cornhill. And, lower down, Turnabich. In nomen Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. In the year of our Lord 1271, the 10th day of February, after Mass, by command of us, Hiram Cornhill, ecclesiastical judge, has been brought from the jail of the chapter, and led before us the woman taken in the house of the innkeeper Tortebras, situated in the domains of the chapter, and the cathedral of St. Maurice, and are subject to the temporal and seigneurial justice of the Archbishop of Tours. Besides which, in consequence of the nature of the crimes imputed to her, she is liable to the tribunal and council of ecclesiastical justice, the which we have made known to her, to the end, that she should not ignore it. And after a serious reading, entirely at will understood by her, in the first place of the petition of the town, then of the statements, plaints, accusations, and proceedings which written in 24 quires by Master Turnabich, and are above related, we have, with the invocation and assistance of God and the Church, resolved to ascertain the truth, First by interrogatories made to the said accused. In the first interrogation we have requested the aforesaid to inform us in what land or town she had been born. By her who speaks was it answered, in Mauritania. We have then inquired if she had a father or mother or any relations. By her who speaks, has it been replied that she had never known them. By us requested to declare her name. By her who speaks has been replied, Zoma in Arabian tongue. By us has it been demanded why she spoke our language. By her who speaks, has it been said, because she had come into this country. By us has it been asked, at what time? By her who speaks, has it been replied, about 12 years. By us has it been asked, what age she then was? By her who speaks, has it been answered, 15 years or thereabout. By us has it been said, then you acknowledge yourself to be 27 years of age? By her who speaks, has it been replied, yes. By us has it been said to her, that she was then the Moorish child found in the niche of Madame the Virgin, baptized by the Archbishop, held at the font by the late Lord of Roch Corbin and the Lady of Azay, his wife, afterwards by them placed in religion at the convent of Mount Carmel, whereby her had been made vows of chastity, poverty, silence, and the love of God, under the divine assistance of Saint Clare. By her who speaks has been said, that is true. By us has it been asked her, if, then, she allowed to be true the declarations of the very noble and illustrious lady the abbess of Mount Carmel, also the statements of Jacquet, called Vuoing, being kitchen scullion? By the accused has been answered, these words are true in great measure. Then by us has it been said to her, then you are a Christian? And by her who speaks has been answered, yes, my father. Then by us has she been requested to make the sign of the cross, and to take holy water from the brush placed by Master Turnabich in her hand, the which having been done, and by us having been witnessed, it has been admitted as an indisputable fact, that Zoma, the Moorish woman, called in our country Blanche Brine, a nun of the convent under the invocation of Mount Carmel, their name Sister Clare, and suspected to be the false appearance of a woman under which is concealed a demon, has in our presence made act of religion, and thus recognized the justice of the ecclesiastical tribunal. Then by us have these words been said to her, my daughter, you are vehemently suspected to have had recourse to the devil from the manner in which you left the convent, which was supernatural in every way. By her who speaks, has it been stated, that she at that time gained naturally the fields by the street door after vespers, enveloped in the robes of Jehan de Marcellus, visitor of the convent, who had hidden her, the person speaking, in a little hovel belonging to him, situated in the Cupidan Lane, near a tower in the town. That there this said priest had to her then speaking, at great length, and most thoroughly taught the depths of love, of which she then speaking was before in all points ignorant, for which delights she had a great taste, finding them of great use. That the sire Dambas having perceived her then speaking at the window of this retreat, had been smitten with a great love for her. That she loved him more heartily than the monk, and fled from the hovel, where she was detained for profit of his pleasure by Don Marcellus. And then she had gone in great haste to Ambas, the castle of the said lord, where she had had 1,000 pastimes, hunting, and dancing, and beautiful dresses fit for a queen. One day the sire de La Roche-Posay having been invited by the sire Dambas to come, and feast and enjoy himself, the Baron Dambas had allowed him to see her then speaking, as she came out naked from her bath. That at this sight the said sire de La Roche-Posay having fallen violently in love with her, had on the morrow discomfited in single combat the sire Dambas, and by great violence, had, in spite of her tears, taken her to the Holy Land, where she who was speaking had lived the life of a woman well beloved, and had been held in great respect on account of her great beauty. That after numerous adventures, she who was speaking had returned into this country in spite of the apprehensions of misfortune, Because such was the will of her lord and master, the Baron de Belleisle, who was dying of grief in Asiatic lands, and desired to return to his patrimonial manor. Now he had promised her who was speaking to preserve her from peril. Now she who was speaking had faith and belief in him, the more so as she loved him very much. But on his arrival in his country, the Sire de Belleisle was seized with an illness, and died deplorably, without taking any remedies, despite of the fervent requests which she who was speaking had addressed to him, but without success, because he hated physicians, master surgeons, and apothecaries, and that this was the whole truth. Then by us has it been said to the accused, that she then held to be true the statements of the good Sire Arduin, and of the innkeeper Tortebras. By her who speaks, has it been replied, that she recognized as evidence the greater part, and also as malicious, calumnious, and imbecile certain portions. Then by us has the accused been required to declare, if she had had pleasure and carnal commerce with all the men, nobles, citizens, and others as set forth in the plaints and declarations of the inhabitants. To which her who speaks, has it been answered with great effrontery. Pleasure, yes. Commerce, I do not know. By us has it been said to her, that all had died by her acts. By her who speaks, has it been said, that their deaths could not be the result of her acts, because she had always refused herself to them, and the more she fled from them the more they came and embraced her with infinite passion, and that when she who was speaking was taken by them, she gave herself up to them with all her strength, by the grace of God, because she had in that more joy than in anything, and has stated, she who speaks, that she avows her secret sentiments, solely because she had been requested by us to state the whole truth, and that she the speaker stood in great fear of the torments of the torturers. Then by us has she been requested to answer, under pain of torture, in what state of mind she was when a young nobleman died in consequence of his commerce with her. Then by her speaking, has it been replied, that she remained quite melancholy and wished to destroy herself, and prayed God, the Virgin, and the saints to receive her into paradise, because never had she met with any, but lovely and good hearts in which was no guile, and beholding them die she fell into a great sadness, fancying herself to be an evil creature or subject to an evil fate, which she communicated like the plague. Then by us has she been requested to state where she paid her orisons. By her speaking, has it been said, that she played in her oratory on her knees before God, who according to the evangelists, sees and hears all things and resides in all places. Then by us has it been demanded, why she never frequented the churches, the offices, nor the feasts. To this by her speaking, has it been answered, that those who came to love her had elected the feast days for that purpose, and that she speaking did all things to their liking. By us has it been remonstrated that, by so doing, she was submissive to man, rather than to the commandments of God. Then by her speaking, has it been stated, that for those who loved her well she speaking would have thrown herself into a flaming pile, never having followed in her love any course, but that of nature, and that for the weight of the world and gold she would not have lent her body or her love to a king who did not love her with his heart, feet, hair, forehead, and all over. In short and moreover the speaker had never made an act of harlotry, in selling one single grain of love to a man whom she had not chosen to be hers, and that he who held her in his arms 1 hour, or kissed her on the mouth a little, possessed her for the remainder of her days. Then by us has she been requested to state whence proceeded the jewels, gold plate, silver, precious stones, regal furniture, carpets, etc., worth 200,000 doubloons, according to the inventory found in her residence, and placed in the custody of the treasurer of the chapter. By the speaker answer has been made, that in us, she placed all her hopes, even as much as in God, but that she dare not reply to this, because it involved the sweetest things of love upon which she had always lived. And interpellated anew, the speaker has said that, if the judge knew with what fervor she held him she loved, With what obedience she followed him in good or evil ways, with what study she submitted to him, with what happiness she listened to his desires, and inhaled the sacred words with which his mouth gratified her, and what adoration she held his person, even we, an old judge, would believe with her well-beloved, that no sum could pay for this great affection which all the men ran after. After the speaker has declared never from any man loved by her, to have solicited any present or gift, and that she rested perfectly contented to live in their hearts, that she would there curl herself up with indestructible and ineffable pleasure, finding herself richer with this heart than with anything, and thinking of no other thing than to give them more pleasure and happiness than she received from them. But in spite of the iterated refusals of the speaker, her lovers persisted in graciously rewarding her. At times one came to her with a necklace of pearls, saying, "This is to show my darling that the satin of her skin did not falsely appear to me whiter than pearls," and would put it on the speaker's neck, kissing her lovingly. The speaker would be angry at these follies, but could not refuse to keep a jewel that gave them pleasure to see it there where they placed it. Each one had a different fancy. At times another liked to tear the precious garments which the speaker wore to gratify him, another to deck out the speaker with sapphires on her arms, on her legs, on her neck, and in her hair, another to seat her on the carpet, clad in silk or black velvet, and to remain for days together in ecstasy at the perfections of the speaker, to whom the things desired by her lovers gave infinite pleasure, because these things rendered them quite happy. And the speaker has said, that as we love nothing so much as our pleasure, and wish that everything should shine in beauty and harmonize, outside as well as inside the heart, so they all wished to see the place inhabited by the speaker adorned with handsome objects, and from this idea all her lovers were pleased as much as she was in spreading there about gold, silks, and flowers. Now seeing that these lovely things spoil nothing, the speaker had no force or commandment by which to prevent a knight, or even a rich citizen beloved by her, having his will, and thus found herself constrained to receive rare perfumes, and other satisfaction with which the speaker was loaded, and that such was the source of the gold, plate, carpets, and jewels seized at her house by the officers of justice. This terminates the first interrogation made to the said Sister Claire, suspected to be a demon, because we the judge and Guillaume Turnabitch are greatly fatigued with having the voice of the aforesaid in our ears, and finding our understanding in every way muddled. By us the judge has the second interrogatory been appointed 3 days from today, in order that the proofs of the possession and presence of the demon in the body of the aforesaid may be sought, and the accused, according to the order of the judge, has been taken back to the jail under the conduct of Master Guillaume Turnabitch. In nomen Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. On the 13th day following of the said month of the February before us, Hiram Cornhill, etc., has been produced the Sister Claire above mentioned, in order to be interrogated upon the facts and deeds to her imputed, and of them to be convicted. By us, the judge, has it been said to the accused that, looking at the divers responses by her given to the preceding interrogatories, it was certain that it never had been in the power of a simple woman, even if she were authorized, if such license were allowed to lead the life of a loose woman, to give pleasure to all, to cause so many deaths, and to accomplish sorcery so perfect, without the assistance of a special demon lodged in her body, and to whom her soul had been sold by an especial compact. That it had been clearly demonstrated, that under her outward appearance lies and moves a demon, the author of these evils, and that she was now called upon to declare at what age she had received the demon, to vow the agreement existing between herself and him, and to tell the truth concerning their common evil doings. By the speaker, was it replied, that she would answer us, man, as to God, who would be judge of all of us. Then as the speaker pretended never to have seen the demon, neither to have spoken with him, nor in any way to desire to see him, never to have led the life of a courtesan, because she, the speaker, had never practiced the various delights that love invents, other than those furnished by the pleasure which the sovereign creator has put in the thing, and to have always been incited more from the desire of being sweet and good to the dear Lord loved by her, than by an incessantly raging desire. But if such had been her inclination, the speaker begged us to bear in mind that she was a poor African girl, in whom God had placed very hot blood, and in her brain so easy an understanding of the delights of love, that if a man only looked at her, she felt greatly moved in her heart. That if from desire of acquaintance an amorous gentleman touched the speaker or on any portion of the body, there passing his hand, she was, in spite of everything, under his power, because her heart failed her instantly. By this touch, the apprehension and remembrance of all the sweet joys of love woke again in her breast, and there caused an intense heat, which mounted up, flamed in her veins, and made her love and joy from head to foot. And since the day when Don Marcellus had first awakened the understanding of the speaker concerning these things, she had never had any other thought, and thenceforth recognized love to be a thing so perfectly concordant with her nature, that it had since been proved to the speaker that in default of love and natural relief she would have died, withered at the said convent. As evidence of which, the speaker affirms as a certainty that after her flight from the said convent she had not passed a single day, or one particle of time in melancholy and sadness, but always was she joyous, and thus followed the sacred will of God, which she believed to have been diverted during the time lost by her in the convent. To this was it objected by us, Hiram Cornhill, to the said demon, that in this response she had openly blasphemed against God, because we had all been made to his greater glory, and placed in the world to honor, and to serve him, to have before our eyes his blessed commandments, and to live in sanctity, in order to gain eternal life, and not to be always in bed, doing that which even the beasts only do at a certain time. Then by the said sister, has answer been made, that she honored God greatly, that in all countries she had taken care of the poor and suffering, giving them both money and raiment, and that at the last judgment day she hoped to have around her a goodly company of holy works pleasant to God, which would intercede for her. That but for her humility, a fear of being reproached, and of displeasing the gentlemen of the chapter, she would with joy have spent her wealth in finishing the Cathedral of St. Maurice, and there have established foundations for the welfare of her soul, would have spared therein neither her pleasure nor her person, and that with this idea she would have taken double pleasure in her nights, because each one of her amours would have added a stone to the building of this basilic. Also the more this purpose, and for the eternal welfare of the speaker, would they have right heartily given their wealth. Then by us has it been said to this demon, that she could not justify the fact of her sterility, because in spite of so much commerce, no child had been born of her, the which proved the presence of a demon in her. Moreover, Astaroth alone, or an apostle, could speak all languages, and she spoke after the manner of all countries, the which proved the presence of the devil in her. Thereupon the speaker has asked, in what consisted the said diversity of language? That of Greek she knew nothing but a Kyrielison, of which she made great use, of Latin, nothing, save Amen, which she said to God, wishing therewith to obtain her liberty. That for the rest the speaker had felt great sorrow, being without children, and if the good wives had them, she believed it was because they took so little pleasure in the business, and she, the speaker, a little too much. But that such was doubtless the will of God, who thought that from too great happiness, the world would be in danger of perishing. Taking this into consideration, and a thousand other reasons, which sufficiently establish the presence of the devil in the body of the sister, because the peculiar property of Lucifer is to always find arguments having the semblance of truth, we have ordered that in our presence the torture be applied to the said accused, and that she be well tormented, in order to reduce the said demon, by suffering to submit to the authority of the Church, and have requested to render us assistance one Francois de Hangest, master surgeon and doctor to the chapter, charging him by a codicil hereunder written to investigate the qualities of the feminine nature, virtues vulvi, of the above-mentioned woman, to enlighten our religion on the methods employed by this demon to lay hold of souls in that way, and see if any article was there apparent. Then the said Moorish woman had wept bitterly, tortured in advance, and in spite of her irons, has knelt down imploring with cries, and clamor the revocation of this order, objecting that her limbs were in such a feeble state, and her bones so tender, that they would break like glass, and finally, has offered to purchase her freedom from this by the gift all her goods to the chapter, and to quit incontinently the country. Upon this, by us has she been required to voluntarily declare herself to be, and to have always been, demon of the nature of the succubus, which is a female devil whose business it is to corrupt Christians by the blandishments and flagitious delights of love. To this the speaker has replied, that the affirmation would be an abominable falsehood, seeing that she had always felt herself to be a most natural woman. Then her irons being struck off by the torturer, the aforesaid has removed her dress, and has maliciously, and with evil design bewildered, and attacked our understandings with the sight of her body, the which, for a fact, exercises upon a man supernatural coercion. Master Guillaume Turnabich has, by reason of nature, quitted the pen at this period, and retired, objecting that he was unable, without incredible temptations, which worked in his brain, to be a witness of this torture, because he felt the devil violently gaining his person. This finishes the second interrogatory, and as the apparitor and janitor of the chapter, have stated Master Francois de Hangest, to be in the country, the torture and interrogations are appointed for tomorrow at the hour of noon after Mass. This has been written verbally by me, Hiram, in the absence of Master Guillaume Turnabich, on whose behalf it is signed. Hiram Cornhill Grand Penitentiary. Petition. Today, the 14th day of the month of February, in the presence of me, Hiram Cornhill, have appeared the said Masters Jehan Ribou, Antoine Jehan, Martin Beauperdais, Hiram Mashafer, Jacques de Ville Dahmer, and the Sire Ditter, in place of the mayor of the city of Tours, for the time absent. All plaintiffs designated in the act of process made at the town hall, to whom we have, at the request of Blanche Brine, now confessing herself a nun of the convent of Mount Carmel, under the name of Sister Claire, declared the appeal made to the judgment of God by the said person accused of demonical possession, and her offer to pass through the ordeal of fire and water, in presence of the chapter, and of the town of Tours, in order to prove her reality as a woman and her innocence. To this request have agreed for their parts, the said accusers, who, on condition that the town is security for it, have engaged to prepare a suitable place and a pile, to be approved by the godparents of the accused. Then by us, the judge, has the first day of the new year, been appointed for the day of the ordeal, which will be next Paschal Day, and we have indicated the hour of noon, after Mass, each of the parties, having acknowledged this delay to be sufficient. And the present proclamation shall be cited, at the suit of each of them, in all the towns, boroughs, and castles of Touraine and the land of France, at their request, and at their cost and suit. Hiram Cornhill. What the succubus did to suck out the soul of the old judge, and what came of the diabolical delectation. This the act of extreme confession made the first day of the month of March, in the year 1271, after the coming of our blessed Savior, by Hiram Cornhill, priest, canon of the chapter of the Cathedral of St. Maurice, Grand Penitentiary, of all acknowledging himself unworthy, who, finding his last hour to be come, and contrite of his sins, evil doings, forfeits, bad deeds, and wickednesses, has desired his avowal, to be published to serve the preconization of the truth, the glory of God, the justice of the tribunal, and to be an alleviation to him of his punishment, in the other world. The satire of Cornel being on his deathbed, there had been convoked to hear his declarations, Jehan de la Haye, de Ego, vicar of the Church of St. Maurice, Pietro Gaillard, treasurer of the chapter, appointed by our Lord Jean de Montsoreau, archbishop, to write his words, and Dom Louis Pot, a monk of Mayus Monasterium, Marmoustier, chosen by him for a spiritual father and confessor, all three assisted by the great and illustrious Dr. Guillaume de Censoris, Roman archdeacon, at present sent into the diocese, legatus, by our Holy Father the Pope, and, finally, in the presence of a great number of Christians come to be witnesses of the death of the said Hiram Cornel, upon his known wish to make act of public repentance, seeing that he was fast sinking, and that his words might open the eyes of Christians about to fall into hell. And before him, Hiram, who, by reason of his great weakness could not speak, as Dom Louis Pot read the following confession to the great agitation of the said company. My brethren, until the 71st year of my age, which is the one in which I now am, with the exception of the little sins through which, all holy though he be, a Christian renders himself culpable before God, but which it is allowed to us to repurchase by penitence, I believe I led a Christian life, and merited the praise and renown bestowed upon me in this diocese, where I was raised to the high office of Grand Penitentiary, of which I am unworthy. Now, struck with the knowledge of the infinite glory of God, horrified at the agonies which await the wicked, and prevaricators in hell, I have thought to lessen the enormity of my sins by the greatest penitence I can show in the extreme hour at which I am. Thus I have prayed of the Church, whom I have deceived and betrayed, whose rights and judicial renown I have sold, to grant me the opportunity of accusing myself publicly in the manner of ancient Christians. I hoped, in order to show my great repentance, to have still enough life in me to be reviled at the door of the cathedral by all my brethren, to remain there an entire day on my knees, holding a candle, a cord around my neck, and my feet naked, seeing that I had followed the way of hell with regard to the sacred instincts of the Church. But in this great shipwreck of my fragile virtue, which will be to you as a warning, to fly from vice and the snares of the demon, and to take refuge in the Church, where all help is, I have been so bewitched by Lucifer, that our Savior Jesus Christ will take, by the intercession of all you whose help and prayers I request, pity on me, a poor abused Christian, whose eyes now stream with tears. So would I have another life, to spend in works of penitence. Now then listen and tremble with great fear. Elected by the assembled chapter to carry it out, instruct, and complete the process commenced against a demon, who had appeared in a feminine shape, in the person of a relapsed nun, an abominable person, denying God, and bearing the name of Zulma in the infidel country whence she comes, the which devil is known in the diocese under that of Clare, of the convent of Mount Carmel, and has much afflicted the town by putting herself under an infinite number of men, to gain their souls to Mammon, Astaroth, and Satan, princes of hell, by making them leave this world in a state of mortal sin, and causing their death, where life has its source. I have, I the judge, fallen in my latter days into this snare, and have lost my senses, while acquitting myself traitorously of the functions committed with great confidence by the chapter to my cold senility. Hear how subtle the demon is, and stand firm against her artifices. While listening to the first response of the aforesaid succubus, I saw with horror that the irons placed upon her feet and hands left no mark there, and was astonished at her hidden strength, and at her apparent weakness. Then my mind was troubled suddenly at the sight of the natural perfections with which the devil was endowed. I listened to the music of her voice, which warmed me from head to foot, and made me desire to be young, to give myself up to this demon, thinking that for an hour past in her company my eternal salvation was but poor payment for the pleasure of love tasted in those slender arms. Then I lost that firmness with which all judges should be furnished. This demon by me questioned, reasoned with me in such a manner that at the second interrogatory I was firmly persuaded I should be committing a crime, in finding and torturing a poor little creature who cried like an innocent child. Then warned by a voice from on high to do my duty, and that these golden words, the music of celestial appearance, were diabolical mummeries, that this body, so pretty, so infatuating, would transmute itself into a bristly beast with sharp claws, those eyes so soft into flames of hell, her behind into a scaly tail, the pretty rosebud mouth and gentle lips into the jaws of a crocodile, I came back to my intention of having the said succubus tortured until she avowed her permission, as this practice had already been followed in Christianity. Now when this demon showed herself stripped to me, to be put to the torture, I was suddenly placed in her power by magical conjurations. I felt my old bones crack, my brain received a warm light, my heart transshook young and boiling blood. I was light in myself, and by virtue of the magic filter thrown into my eyes the snows on my forehead melted away. I lost all conscience of my Christian life, and found myself a schoolboy, running about the country, escaped from class and stealing apples. I had not the power to make the sign of the cross, neither did I remember the church, God the Father, nor the sweet Savior of men. A prey to this design, I went about the streets thinking over the delights of that voice, the abominable pretty body of this demon, and saying a thousand wicked things to myself. Then pierced and drawn by a blow of the devil's fork, who had planted himself already in my head as a serpent in an oak, I was conducted by this sharp prong towards the jail, in spite of my guardian angel, who from time to time pulled me by the arm, and defended me against these temptations, but in spite of his holy advice, and his assistance I was dragged by a million claws stuck into my heart, and soon found myself in the jail. As soon as the door was opened to me, I saw no longer any appearance of a prison, because the succubus had there, with the assistance of evil Jennier Faze, constructed a pavilion of purple and silk, full of perfumes and flowers, where she was seated, superbly attired with neither irons on her neck nor chains on her feet. I allowed myself to be stripped of my ecclesiastical vestments, and was put into a scent bath. Then the demon covered me with a Saracen robe, entertained me with a repast of rare viands contained in precious vases, gold cups, Asiatic wines, songs and marvelous music, and a thousand sweet sounds that tickled my soul by means of my ears. At my side kept always the said succubus, and her sweet, delectable embrace distilled new ardor into my members. My guardian angel quitted me. Then I lived only by the terrible light of the Moorish woman's eyes, coveted the warm embraces of the delicate body, wished always to feel her red lips, that I believed natural, and had no fear of the bite of those teeth which drew me to the bottom of hell. I delighted to feel the unequaled softness of her hands without thinking that they were unnatural claws. In short, I acted like husband desiring to go to his affianced without thinking that that spouse was everlasting death. I had no thought for the things of this world nor the interests of God, dreaming only of love, of the sweet breasts of this woman, who made me burn, and of the gate of hell in which I wished to cast myself. Alas, my brethren, during 3 days and 3 nights was I thus constrained to toil without being able to stop the stream which flowed from my reins, in which were plunged, like two pikes, the hands of the succubus, which communicated to my poor old age, and to my dried up bones, I know not what sweat of love. At first this demon, to draw me to her, caused to flow in my inside the softness of milk, then came poignant joys which pricked like 100 needles my bones, my marrow, my brain, and my nerves. Then all this gone, all things became inflamed, my head, my blood, my nerves, my flesh, my bones, and then I burned with the real fire of hell, which caused me torments in my joints, and an incredible, intolerable, tearing voluptuousness which loosened the bonds of my life. The tresses of this demon, which enveloped my poor body, poured upon me a stream of flame, and I felt each lock like a bar of red iron. During this mortal delectation I saw the ardent face of the said succubus, who laughed and addressed to me 1,000 exciting words, such as that I was her knight, her lord, her lance, her day, her joy, her hero, her life, her good, her rider, and that she would like to clasp me even closer, wishing to be in my skin, or have me in hers. Hearing which, under the prick of this tongue which sucked out my soul, I plunged and precipitated myself finally into hell without finding the bottom. And then when I had no more a drop of blood in my veins, when my heart no longer beat in my body, and I was ruined at all points, the demon, still fresh, white, rubicund, glowing, and laughing, said to me, "Poor fool, to think me a demon. Had I asked thee to sell thy soul for a kiss, wouldst thou not give it to me with all thy heart?" "Yes," said I, "and if all was to act thus, it were necessary for thee to nourish thyself with the blood of newborn children in order always to have new life to spend in my arms. Would you not imbibe it willingly?" "Yes," said I, "and to be always my gallant horseman, gay as a man in his prime, feeling life, drinking pleasure, plunging to the depths of joy as a swimmer into the Loire, wouldst thou not deny God? Wouldst thou not spit in the face of Jesus?" "Yes," said I. Then I felt 100 sharp claws which tore my diaphragm, as if the beaks of 1,000 birds there took their bellyfuls, shrieking. Then I was lifted suddenly above the earth upon the said succubus, who had spread her wings, and cried to me, "Ride, ride, my gallant rider. Hold yourself firmly on the back of thy mule, by her mane, by her neck, and ride, ride, my gallant rider, everything rides." And then I saw, as a thick fog, the cities of the earth, where by a special gift I perceived each one coupled with a female demon, and tossing about, and engendering in great concupiscence, all shrieking 1,000 words of love and exclamations of all kinds, and all toiling away with ecstasy. Then my horse with the Moorish head pointed out to me, still flying and galloping beyond the clouds, the earth coupled with the sun in a conjunction, from which proceeded a germ of stars, and there each female world was embracing a male world, but in place of the words used by creatures, the worlds were giving forth the howls of tempests, throwing up lightnings and crying thunders. Then still rising, I saw overhead the female nature of all things in love with the Prince of Movement. Now, by way of mockery, the succubus placed me in the center of this horrible and perpetual conflict, where I was lost as a grain of sand in the sea. Then still cried my white mare to me, "Ride, ride my gallant rider, all things ride." Now, thinking how little was a priest in this torment of the seed of worlds, nature all was clasped together, and metals, stones, waters, airs, thunders, fish, plants, animals, men, spirits, worlds and planets, all embracing with rage, I denied the Catholic faith. Then the succubus, pointing out to me the great patch of stars seen in heavens, said to me, "That way is a drop of celestial seed escaped from great flow of the worlds in conjunction." Thereupon I instantly clasped the succubus with passion by the light of 1,000,000,000 of stars, and I wished in clasping her to feel the nature of those 1,000,000,000 creatures. Then by this great effort of love I fell impotent in every way, and heard a great infernal laugh. Then I found myself in my bed, surrounded by my servitors, who had had the courage to struggle with the demon, throwing into the bed, where I was stretched, a basin full of holy water, and saying fervent prayers to God. Then had I to sustain, in spite of this assistance, a horrible combat with the said succubus, whose claws still clutched my heart, causing me infinite pains. Still, while reanimated by the voice of my servitors, relations, and friends, I tried to make the sacred sign of the cross. The succubus perched on my bed, on the bolster, at the foot, everywhere, occupying herself and distracting my nerves, laughing, grimacing, putting before my eyes 1,000 obscene images, and causing me 1,000 wicked desires. Nevertheless, Taking pity on me, my lord the archbishop caused the relics of St. Gaudian to be brought, and the moment the shrine had touched my bed the said succubus was obliged to depart, leaving an odor of sulfur and of hell, which made the throats of my servants, friends, and others sore for a whole day. Then the celestial light of God having enlightened my soul, I knew I was, through my sins and my combat with the evil spirit, in great danger of dying. Then did I implore the especial mercy, to live just a little time, to render glory to God and His Church, objecting the infinite merits of Jesus' death upon the cross for the salvation of the Christians. By this prayer I obtained the favor of recovering sufficient strength, to accuse myself of my sins, and to beg of the members of the Church of St. Maurice their aid, and assistance to deliver me from purgatory, where I am about to atone for my faults by infinite agonies. Finally, I declare that my proclamation, wherein the said demon appeals the judgment of God by the ordeals of holy water and of fire, is a subterfuge due to an evil design suggested by the said demon, who would thus have had the power, to escape the justice of the tribunal of the archbishop, and of the chapter, seeing that she secretly confessed to me, to be able to make another demon accustomed to the ordeal, appear in her place. And, in conclusion, I give and bequeath to the chapter of the Church of St. Maurice my property of all kinds, to found a chapter in the said church, to build it, and adorn it, and put it under the invocation of St. Hierom and St. Gaudian, of whom one is my patron, and the other the savior of my soul. This, heard by all the company, has been brought to the notice of the ecclesiastical tribunal by Jehan de la Haye, Johannes de Haga. We, Jehan de la Haye, Johannes de Haga, elected Grand Penitentiary of St. Maurice by the General Assembly of the Chapter, according to the usage and custom of that church, and appointed to pursue afresh the trial of the demon succubus, at present in the jail of the chapter, have ordered a new inquest, at which will be heard all those of this diocese having cognizance of the facts relative thereto. We declare void the other proceedings, interrogations, and decrees, and annul them in the name of the members of the Church in general, and sovereign chapter assembled, and declare that the appeal to God, traitorously made by the demon, shall not take place, in consequence of the notorious treachery of the devil in this affair. And the said judgment shall be cried by sound of trumpet in all parts of the diocese in which have been published the false edicts of the preceding month, all notoriously due to the instigation of the demon, according to the confession of the late Hierom Cornill. Let all good Christians be of assistance to our Holy Church, and to her commandments. Jehan de la Haye. How the Moorish woman of the Rue Chaude twisted about so briskly that with great difficulty was she burned and cooked alive, to the great loss of the infernal regions. This was written in the month of May, of the year 1360, after the manner of a testament. My very dear and well-beloved son, when it shall be lawful for thee to read this, I shall be, I thy father, reposing in the tomb, imploring thy prayers, and supplicating thee to conduct thyself in life as it will be commanded thee in this rescript, bequeathed for the good government of thy family, thy future, and safety. For I have done this at a period, when I had my senses and understanding, still recently affected by the sovereign injustice of men. In my virile age I had a great ambition, to raise myself in the church, and therein to obtain the highest dignities, because no life appeared to me more splendid. Now with this earnest idea, I learned to read and write, and with great trouble, became in a fit condition to enter the clergy. But because I had no protection, or good advice to superintend my training, I had an idea of becoming the writer, tabellion, and rubrican of the chapter of St. Maurice, in which were the highest and richest personages of Christendom, since the King of France is only therein a simple canon. Now there I should be able better than anywhere else to find services to render to certain lords, and thus to find a master or gain patronage, and by this assistance enter into religion, and be mitred and ensconced in an archiepiscopal chair, somewhere or other. But this first vision was over credulous, and a little too ambitious, the which God caused me clearly to perceive by the sequel. In fact, Messer Gipin de Villedomer, who afterwards became cardinal, was given this appointment, and I was rejected, discomfited. Now in this unhappy hour I received an alleviation of my troubles, by the advice of the good old Hiram Cornhill, of whom I have often spoken to you. This dear man induced me, by his kindness, to become penman to the chapter of St. Maurice and the Archbishop of Tours, the which offer I accepted with joy, since I was reputed a scrivener. At the time I was about to enter into the presbytery commenced the famous process against the devil of the Rue Chaude, of which the old folk still talk, and which in its time has been recounted in every home in France. Now, believing that it would be of great advantage to my ambition, and that for this assistance the chapter would raise me to some dignity, my good master had me appointed for the purpose of writing all of that should be in this grave cause, subject to writing. At the very outset Monsignor Hiram Cornhill, a man approaching 80 years, of great sense, justice, and sound understanding, suspected some spitefulness in this cause, although he was not partial to immodest girls, and had never been involved with a woman in his life, and was holy and venerable, with a sanctity which had caused him to be selected as a judge, all this notwithstanding. As soon as the depositions were completed, and the poor wench heard, it remained clear that, although this Mary Doxy had broken her religious vows, she was innocent of all devilry, and that her great wealth was coveted by her enemies, and other persons, whom I must not name to thee for reasons of prudence. At this time every one believed her to be so well furnished with silver and gold, that she could have bought the whole county of Touraine, if so it had pleased her. 1,000 falsehoods and calumnious words concerning the girl, envied by all the honest women, were circulated and believed in as gospel. At this period Master Hiram Cornhill, having ascertained that no demon other than that of love was in the girl, made her consent to remain in a convent for the remainder of her days. And having ascertained certain noble knights brave in war and rich in domains, that they would do everything to save her, he invited her secretly, to demand of her accusers the judgment of God, at the same time giving her goods to the chapter, in order to silence mischievous tongues. By this means, would be saved from the stake the most delicate flower, that ever heaven has allowed to fall upon our earth. The which flower yielded only from excessive tenderness and amiability to the malady of love, cast by her eyes into the hearts of all her pursuers. But the real devil, under the form of a monk, mixed himself up in this affair, in this wise. Great enemy of the virtue, wisdom, and sanctity of Monsignor Hiram Cornhill, named Jehan de La Haye, having learned that in the jail, the poor girl was treated like a queen, wickedly accused the grand penitentiary of connivance with her, and of being her servitor, because, said this wicked priest, she makes him young, amorous, and happy, from which the poor old man died of grief in one day, knowing by this that Jehan de La Haye had worn his ruin, and coveted his dignities. In fact, our Lord the Archbishop visited the jail, and found the Moorish woman in a pleasant place, reposing comfortably, and without irons, because, having placed a diamond in a place, when none could have believed she could have held it, she had purchased the clemency of her jailer. At the time certain persons said, that this jailer was smitten with her, and that from love, or perhaps in great fear of the young barons, lovers of this woman, he had planned her escape. The good man Cornhill being at the point of death, through the treachery of Jehan de La Haye, the chapter thinking it necessary to make null and void the proceedings taken by the penitentiary, and also his decrees, the said Jehan de La Haye, at that time a simple vicar of the cathedral, pointed out that to do this, it would be sufficient to obtain a public confession from the good man on his deathbed. Then was the moribund tortured, and tormented by the gentlemen of the chapter, those of St. Martin, those of Marmoustiers, by the archbishop, and also by the pope's legate, in order that he might recant to the advantage of the church, to which the good man would not consent. But after a thousand ills, the public confession was prepared, at which the most noteworthy people of the town assisted, and to which spread more horror and consternation than I can describe. The churches of the diocese held public prayers for this calamity, and everyone expected to see the devil tumble into his house by the chimney. But the truth of it is that the good Master Hiram had a fever, and saw cows in his room, and then was this recantation obtained of him. The access passed, the poor saint wept copiously on learning this trick from me. In fact, he died in my arms, assisted by his physicians, heartbroken at this mummery, telling us that he was going to the feet of God, to pray to prevent the consummation of this deplorable iniquity. The poor Moorish woman had touched him much by her tears and repentance, seeing that before making her demand for the judgment of God he had minutely confessed her, and by that means, had disentangled the soul divine which was in the body, and of which he spoke, as of a diamond worthy of adorning the holy crown of God, when she should have departed this life, after repenting her sins. Then, my dear son, knowing by the statements made in the town, and by the naive responses of this unhappy wretch, all the trickery of this affair, I determined by the advice of Master Francois de Hangest, physician of the chapter, to feign an illness, and quit the service of the Church of St. Maurice, and of the Archbishopric, in order not to dip my hands in the innocent blood, which still cries, and will continue to cry aloud unto God until the day of the last judgment. Then was the jailer dismissed, and in his place was put the second son of the torturer, who threw the Moorish woman into a dungeon, and inhumanly put upon her hands and feet chains weighing 50 pounds, besides a wooden waistband. And the jail were watched by the crossbowmen of the town, and the people of the archbishop. The wench was tormented and tortured, and her bones were broken. Conquered by sorrow, she made an avowal according to the wishes of Jehan de la Haye, and was instantly condemned to be burned in the enclosure of St. Etienne, having been previously placed in the portals of the church, attired in a chemise of sulfur, and her goods given over to the chapter, etc. This order was the cause of great disturbances and fighting in the town, because three young knights of Touraine swore to die in the service of the poor girl, and to deliver her in all possible ways. Then they came into the town, accompanied by thousands of sufferers, laboring people, old soldiers, warriors, courtesans, and others, whom the said girls had succored, saved from misfortune, from hunger and misery, and searched all the poor dwellings of the town, where lay those to whom she had done good. Thus all were stirred up and called together to the plain of Mount Louis under the protection of the soldiers of the said lords. They had for companions all the scapegraces of the said 20 leagues around, and came one morning to lay siege to the prison of the archbishop, demanding that the Moorish woman should be given up to them, as though they would put her to death, but in fact to set her free, and to place her secretly upon a swift horse, that she might gain the open country, seeing that she rode like a groom. Then in this frightful tempest of men have we seen between the battlements of the archiepiscopal palace and the bridges, more than 10,000 men swarming, besides those who were perched upon the roofs of the houses and climbing on all the balconies to see the sedition. In short, it was easy to hear the horrible cries of the Christians, who were terribly in earnest, and of those who surrounded the jail with the intention of setting the poor girl free, across the Loire, the other side of St. Symphorien. The suffocation and squeezing of bodies was so great in this immense crowd, bloodthirsty for the poor creature at whose knees they would have fallen had they had the opportunity of seeing her, that 7 children, 11 women, and 8 citizens were crushed and smashed beyond all recognition, since they were like splodges of mud. In short, so wide open was the great mouth of this popular leviathan, this horrible monster, that the clamor was heard at Montel's Les Tours. All cried death to the succubus. Throw out the demon. Ha! I'd like a quarter. I'll have her skin. The foot for me, the mane for thee. The head for me, the something for me. Is it red? Shall we see? Will it be grilled? Death to her, death. Each one had his say. But the cry, largesse to God. Death to the succubus, was yelled at the same time by the crowd so hoarsely and so cruelly that one's ears and heart bled therefrom, and the other cries were scarcely heard in the houses. The archbishop decided, in order to calm this storm which threatened to overthrow everything, to come out with great pomp from the church, bearing the host, which would deliver the chapter from ruin, since the wicked young men and the lords had sworn to destroy and burn the cloisters and all the canons. Now by this stratagem the crowd was obliged to break up, and from lack of provisions return to their houses. Then the monks of Touraine, the lords, and the citizens, in great apprehension of pillage on the morrow, held a nocturnal council, and accepted the advice of the chapter. By their efforts the men-at-arms, archers, knights, and citizens, in a large number, kept watch, and killed a party of shepherds, road-menders, and vagrants, who, knowing the disturbed state of Tours, came to swell the ranks of the malcontents. The sire Arduin de Mail, an old nobleman, reasoned with the young knights, who were the champions of the Moorish woman, and argued sagely with them, asking them if for so small a woman they wished to put Touraine to fire and sword, that even if they were victorious they would be masters of the bad characters brought together by them, that these said freebooters, after having sacked the castles of their enemies, would turn to those of their chiefs. That the rebellion commenced had no success in the first attack, because up to that time the place was untouched, could they have any over the church, which would invoke the aid of the king, and 1,000 other arguments. To these reasons the young knights replied, that it was easy for the chapter, to aid the girl's escape in the night, and that thus the cause of the sedition would be removed. To this humane and wise request replied Monsignor de Censorus, the Pope's legate, that it was necessary that strength should remain with the religion of the Church. And thereupon the poor wench paid for all, since it was agreed that no inquiry should be made concerning this sedition. Then the chapter had full license to proceed to the penance of the girl, to which act and ecclesiastical ceremony the people came from 12 leagues around. So that on the day when, after divine satisfaction, the succubus was to be delivered up to secular justice, in order to be publicly burned at a stake, not for a gold pound would a lord, or even an abbot have been found lodging in the town of Tours. The night before many camped outside the town in tents, or slept upon straw. Provisions were lacking, and many who came with their bellies full, returned with their bellies empty, having seen nothing but the reflection of the fire in the distance. And the bad characters did good strokes of business by the way. The poor courtesan was half dead. Her hair had whitened. She was, to tell the truth, nothing but a skeleton, scarcely covered with flesh, and her chains weighed more than she did. If she had had joy in her life, she paid dearly for it at this moment. Those who saw her pass say that she wept and shrieked in a way that should have earned the pity of her hardest pursuers, and in the church there were compelled to put a piece of wood in her mouth, which she bit as a lizard bites a stick. Then the executioner tied her to a stake to sustain her, since she let herself roll at times, and fell for want of strength. Then she suddenly recovered a vigorous handful, because, this notwithstanding, she was able, it is said, to break her cords and escape into the church, where in remembrance of her old vocation, she climbed quickly into galleries above, flying like a bird along the little columns and small friezes. She was about to escape onto the roof, when a soldier perceived her, and thrust his spear in the sole of her foot. In spite of her foot half cut through, the poor girl still ran along the church without noticing it, going along with her bones broken and her blood gushing out, so great fear had she of the flames of the stake. At last she was taken and bound, thrown into a tumbrel and led to the stake, without being afterwards heard to utter a cry. The account of her flight and the church assisted in making the common people believe that she was the devil, and some of them said that she had flown in the air. As soon as the executioner of the town threw her into the flames, she made two or three horrible leaps, and fell down into the bottom of the pile, which burned day and night. On the following evening I went to see if anything remained of this gentle girl, so sweet, so loving, but I found nothing but a fragment of the ustomachal, in which, in spite of this, there still remained some moisture, and which some say still trembled like a woman does in the same place. It is impossible to tell, my dear son, the sadnesses, without number and without equal, which for about 10 years weighed upon me. Always was I thinking of this angel burnt by wicked men, and always I beheld her with her eyes full of love. In short, the supernatural gifts of this artless child were shining day and night before me, and I prayed for her in the church, where she had been martyred. At length I had neither the strength nor the courage to look without trembling upon the grand penitentiary Jehan de La Haye, who died eaten up by lice. Leprosy was his punishment. Fire burned his house and his wife, and all those who had a hand in the burning had their own hands singed. This, my well-beloved son, was the cause of a thousand ideas, which I have here put into writing, to be forever the rule of conduct in our family. I quitted the service of the church, and espoused your mother, from whom I received infinite blessings, and with whom I shared my life, my goods, my soul, and all. And she agreed with me in following precepts. Firstly, that to live happily, it is necessary to keep far away from church people, to honor them much without giving them leave to enter your house, any more than to those who by right, just or unjust, are supposed to be superior to us. Secondly, to take a modest condition, and to keep oneself in it without wishing to appear in any way rich. To have a care to excite no envy, nor strike any one soever in any manner, because it is needful to be as strong as an oak, which kills the plants at its feet, to crush envious heads, and even then would one succumb, since human oaks are especially rare, and that no turnibitch should flatter himself that he is one, granting that he be a turnibitch. Thirdly, never to spend more than one quarter of one's income, conceal one's wealth, hide one's goods and chattels, to undertake no office, to go to church like other people, and always keep one's thoughts to oneself, seeing that they belong to you, and not to others, who twist them about, turn them after their own fashion, and make calumnies therefrom. Fourthly, always to remain in the condition of the turnibitches, who are now and forever drapers. To marry your daughters to good drapers, send your sons to be drapers in other towns of France furnished with these wise precepts, and to bring them up to the honor of drapery, and without leaving any dream of ambition in their minds. A draper like a turnibitch should be their glory, their arms, their name, their motto, their life. Thus by being always drapers, they will be always turnibitches, and rub on like the good little insects, who, once lodged in the beam, made their dens, and go on with security to the end of their ball of thread. Fifthly, never to speak any other language than that of drapery, and never to dispute concerning religion or government. And even though the government of the state, the province, religion, and God turn about, or have a fancy, to go to the right, or to the left, always in your quality of turnibitch, stick to your cloth. Thus unnoticed by the others of the town, the turnibitches will live in peace with their little turnibitches, paying the tithes and taxes, and all that they are required by force to give, be it to God, or to the king, to the town of to the parish, with all of whom it is unwise to struggle. Also it is necessary to keep the patrimonial treasure, to have peace, and to buy peace, never to owe anything, to have corn in the house, and enjoy yourselves with the doors and windows shut. By this means none will take from the turnibitches, neither the state, nor the church, nor the lords, To whom should the case be that force is employed, you will lend a few crowns without cherishing the idea of ever seeing him again, I mean the crowns. Thus, in all seasons people will love the turnibitches, will mock the turnibitches as poor people, as the slow turnibitches, as turnibitches of no understanding. Let the know-nothing say on. The turnibitches will neither be burned nor hanged, to the advantage of king or church, or other people, and the wise turnibitches will have secretly money in their pockets, and joy in their houses, hidden from all. Now, my dear son, follow this the counsel of a modest and middle-class life. Maintain this in thy family as a county charter, and when you die, let your successor maintain it as the sacred gospel of the turnibitches, until God wills it that there be no longer turnibitches in this world. This letter has been found at the time of the inventory made in the house of François Turnibitch, Lord of Veritz, Chancellor to Monseigneur the Dauphin, and condemned at the time of the rebellion of the said Lord against the King to lose his head, and have all his goods confiscated by order of the Parliament of Paris. The said letter has been handed to the Governor of Touraine as an historical curiosity, and joined to the pieces of the process in the Archbishopric of Tours, by me, Pierre Gaultier, Sheriff, President of the Trades Council. The author, having finished the transcription and deciphering of these parchments, translating them from their strange language into French, the donor of them declared that the Rue Chat de Tours was so called, according to certain people, because the sun remained there longer than in all other parts. But in spite of this version, people of lofty understanding will find, in the warm way of the said succubus, the real origin of the said name, in which acquiesces the author. This teaches us not to abuse our body, but use it wisely in view of our salvation.